Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines before they become wide. If you estimate the middle of the page, notice the narrow section of the Gemara text, count 9 lines up before they get wide, and the phrase Omar Mar appears, and that's our beginning point. Before we learn the actual Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. We have written Beinoni. Beinoni, in light of our previous discussion, in our previous year, we saw a description of the absolute wicked, the absolute pious, and those that are in the middle. We can, using the balance scale analogy which the Gemara adopts, one side of the scale has a certain number of sins, and the other side has an equal number of merits, making the individual a Beinoni, middle of the ground. So we continue with that theme, and we've noted on the side, Psukim u'matzavim shonim be'inyan ha-beinoni. We'll see psukim quoted and different situations involving this individual, this type of individual, the middle ground person. The Gemara. Omar Mar. The Omar Mar, of course, is a quote from that which was mentioned before, and we oftentimes use connecting markings to show where the source comes from, where it was quoted earlier. If you use the little arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and skim up to a similar type squiggled arrow above, you'll see that's where it's from. Omar Mar, it was said earlier, Beis Hillel Oimrim, regarding the way the Almighty deals with the Beinoni, in contrast to Beis Shammai's method, Beis Hillel says, V'rav chesed mate klapei chesed. The Almighty, who is the one who is Rav Chesed, abundant of good, the abundant of boundless goodwill, Mate, he tilts in the direction of loving kindness, which in the previous discussion meant that the Beinoni is not subject to purgatory whatsoever, in contrast to Beis Shammai, who had a type of cleansing taking place, and an immediate release from that situation. So the Gemara asks, that is what Beis Hillel says, but what about the fact that Beis Shammai did quote a pasuk which seemed to say that the middle individual, the third category after the totally righteous, totally wicked, the third category, the Beinoni, is subject to a purging in purgatory. The Hoksiv, is there not a pasuk that says Veivesi es hashlishis bo'esh, and I'll bring the third one into the fire? So the Beis Hillel will answer Hasam bepoishe Yisrael begufan. That is referring to a situation known as poishe Yisrael begufan, which the Gemara will deal with later what that is, but it's, we'll just say for right now, it's a very serious type offender. So the Gemara asks, but Poshi Yisrael Begufon, is that what the Pasuk is referring to? Vahal Amris, but it has been said, Les Lehu Takanta. They don't have any solution. In other words, there's no salvation for the Poshi Yisrael Begufon. And the Pasuk of Veivesis HaShlishis Bo'esh, that Pasuk says that all that happens there is as painful as the purgatory exposing might be, but the person is cleansed after that. Poshi Yisrael Begufon, there's no cleansing, there's just total destruction. The Gemara answers, Ki les lehu takanta, when we speak about Poshi Yisrael, Begufan is having no salvation, no help, no solution, Beroiv Avoinus. That's a person who has, in addition to the fact that he's majority sins, amongst his majority sins is also the offense of Poshe Yisrael Begufo. Hacha, that we mentioned Poshe Yisrael Begufo as being the subject of the Pasuk of Avesius, a Shlishi Boesh, that's a person who is Mechso Avoinois U Mechso Zechuyois, he's a 50-50 type person, Ve'is behunami avoin the Poshe Yisrael Begufon, and amongst the 50% sins, there's also this serious offense of Poshe Yisrael Begufon, lo sagyo le delav vehevesi es hashlishis boesh. He couldn't do without that. In other words, it's a type of 50-50 person, but since in the 50% sin, you have also this offense, but still it's total 50-50. On the 50% side of sin, he happens to have this, Poshe Yisrael Begufan. Therefore, he needs to be exposed to the purging of the fire. V'im lav, if he is a pure 50-50% individual, pure, maybe it's not a good term, but he's 50% sin, 50% merit, and in the 50% sin he doesn't have, he's not guilty of Poshi Yisrael Begufon, then he's not subject even to the fire for cleansing, but rather, as we saw earlier, Rav Chesed Mata Klapi Chesed, where the Almighty, the one of boundless loving kindness, tilts in the direction of chesed, of kindness. V'alehem, Omar David, and regarding them, David says, Ohavti ki yishma Hashem. And this was a pasuk quoted above in the Tanaic source in which this was featured. So in the last discussion, since our shiur opened up today, we saw reference to different categories of people. We saw people that are rishoyim, 50. They're rishoyim, meaning they're majority sin, and amongst their majority sin, they also have poshi Yisrael Begufon offense. So regarding them, we saw the expression they have no takona. They're destroyed for eternity. Then we had people that are beinonim. They're 50% sin, 50% merit, but within the 50% sin they have poshi Yisrael Begufon. So regarding that category, we say they have salvation, but they have to earn it, and that's through what's described in the pasuk, Vehevesi es hashlishis boesh v'tzraftim kitzroif es hakesef, etc. Found in the prophet Zechariah Perek Yud Gimel pasuk Tes. And then we had the beinonim that were 50% people, 50% sin, 50% merit without the Poshe Yisrael Begufon. They benefit from the Kodesh Baruch Hu's loving kindness and aren't even subject to the purging. Now the Gemara relates to the pasuk we just quoted, Dorash Rava, Mai Dichtiv Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem. What is meant by that pasuk? Omro Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nation of Israel says to the Almighty, Ribono Shel Olam, Emosai Ani Ahuva Lefanecha, when am I beloved by you? Bizman Sha'ato Shoimea Kol Tachanunoi. These are, of course, paraphrasing that which you see in the pasuk. Dalosi V'Lioshia. That's also a quote from the same paragraph. Afapi Shedolo Ani B'Mitzmin HaMitzvos. Even though I am Dalosi, poor. Dolo Ani Min HaMitzvos. I am poor in having few merits. Li Noe LaHoshia. It is still fitting and pleasant for me to be saved. Poshi Yisrael Begufon Mainihu, and we've been mentioning this already a few times, well, what is that? And we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, which enables you to see where this was originally quoted. There, the Brisa that had said regarding them that they descend into Gehenna for 12 months, and then afterwards they're burnt and become the ash under the feet of the righteous. What is that? Omar Rav. So Rav answers, Karkafto deloy monach tfilin. It's a reference to Karkafto literally is a head or a skull that never had tfilin on it. Not even once. They never experienced wearing tfilin. Poshe umoy soilon begufon. That also was a term we saw above. Omar Rav. Be'avero. This is a reference to Gentiles that engage in immorality. And it's a realm in which even though they did not accept the Torah with its many restrictions, there are nevertheless a list of, we'll call them close relatives, that a Ben Noach is forbidden in, and those who violate that are called poshe umos olam begufan. V'shenosnu chitisim beretz chayim. This too was mentioned earlier, and we have a mark. You can see a connecting mark also to see where this was quoted earlier. This you can see this little circle with a line through it. Translated, it's those that cast chitisem, their fear, in the land of the living. Omar Rav Chisda, ze parnas hamatil emo yesero al hatzibor shaloi l'shem shamayim. This is a communal leader that leads his followers by casting an inordinate amount of fear on the public without having any divine or heavenly motivation for doing such. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, Kol Parnas Hamatil Emo Yesero Al Hatzibur Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. Any leader that rules by casting fear and not having altruistic intentions, Eino Roe Ben Talmud Chacham. So his, amongst the different punishments is that he will not merit seeing a son who is a Torah scholar. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lochein Yiru Anoshim Lo Yira Kol Chachmei Lev. Because he is the source of fear of others, he will not see wisdom coming forth from him. Beis Hillel Oimrim, V'Rav Chesed Mate Klapi Chesed. This too was quoted in the Tanaic source where Beis Hillel appeared 5 lines from the top. Hechi Ovid. So here the Gemara is asking, what does that mean when we say that the Almighty tilts in the direction of kindness? Again, once we said we're dealing with the Beinonim. So What does he actually do? And here again, we're referring to the analogy of the balance scale, one side merit and one side sin. The Gemara will now be quoting from Psukim from the prophet Micha, Perik Zion, and we'll have Psukim in the next few lines. We'll see quotes from Psukim Yud Ches and Yud Tes. So before we learn the actual Gemara, let's read the Psukim together. We have them on the side of our Gemara. Mi keil komoicho noisei ovoin v'oiver al pesha l'sheiris nachloso lo hechzik lo'an apo ki chofetz chesed hu yoshuv yirachamenu yichboish avoinoisenu v'sashlich b'mtsulois yom kol chatoison. These psukim, by the way, if they appear to be somewhat familiar to those of you who, even if you're not expert in the Tanakh, but you might associate them with that which is mentioned during Yom Kippur. The Gemara continues after asking Heichi Ovid, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do when he's Mate Klapi Chesed? There are two approaches. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Koiv Shoi. That means on the balance scale, Koiv Shoi, he presses down on the side of the merits, creating the impression that they are more weightier, they're weighing down, outbalancing the sin side. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Yoshuv Yechamenu Yichbosh Avoinoisenu, that Yichbosh, through pressing down, he presses down and they outweigh the sins. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Omar Noisei, that he from the bottom of the balance scale, he raises the side of the sins, making them higher on the balance scale, giving the impression that the merits are weightier. Shneamar Noisei Avoin V'Oiver Al Pesha. Noisei, he lifts up the sins. Tono debe Rabbi Yishmael. Ma'avir Rishoin Rishoin V'chein Hi Hamida. In order to appreciate this is also a description of how the Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with the Beinoni. So it says Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Let's take a look at Rashi to appreciate this. Rashi we're looking at, you'll see, is a little more than halfway down. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon Avoin Sheborishonim Habo'ab. One of the, we'll call, earlier sins, Haboyim L'sitom L'kaf, when the, you know, say, the heavenly court is about to put one of these early sins on the balance scale, Ma'aviroi V'shontoi. So the Almighty pushes it aside and drops it off to the side. She'im Hoyu Mechza Al Mechza, that if with this sin on the scale, he would have then been a 50-50, Kevon Shechoser Echod Mehen, with it not being placed on the scale, Yichru Hazechuyos V'Kachi Hamida, the merits will weigh down, and that is the way he deals with the Beinoni. So we're dealing with a very tight situation where he doesn't allow one sin to be added to the scale, which if it were added, so it would then be balanced. So without it being placed on the scale, this individual then is shown to be majority merit. Omar Rava. Rava then adds, V'avoin atzmoi eino nimchak. However, that sin that wasn't placed on the scale, it's not as if it's erased, but it's put to the side. De'iika ruba avoinois machshiv bahadayu. Rashi says, V'avoin atzmoi eino nimchak elamunach letzad echad. De'iika ruba avoinois. If there would be majority sin, and here there's a Bach reading is in order, under Ois Beis, so he's in the upper part of the page on the side, where he says, Ruba Avoinos Shi'im Loi Yachriu Hazuchuyos Achshav, if by leaving off this one sin, the merit side won't weigh down, V'ye Mechza Al Mechza, and without adding this sin, he already is a 50% person, 50% sin, 50% merit. Nimsa de roiv avoinois have bahadei hahu. That then would show us that with this sin that was kept off in the meantime from the balance scale, by adding it, the sin side will weigh down. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Kol Hamavir al Midoisov, Ma'avirin Loi al Kol Pshav. Here is a fantastic insight or a description of a person who is capable, very difficult human attribute to achieve, but it's the ability to overcome one's, we'll call, natural tendencies in the realm of interhuman relations. He's Mavir al Midoisov. Rashi describes this, Mavir al Midoisov, She'eno medaktek limdoid mido la mitzarim oisoi. He doesn't, let's say, conduct himself in what we call a tit for a tat. That means that if someone wronged him, he doesn't dwell on how to offer retribution to those that caused him pain. In other words, if someone wronged you or caused you pain, it's we'll call it within the realm of human behavior, acceptable human behavior, even to seek a form of retribution, to repay, so to speak, to punish in return. But this person is described as someone who lets it go, who is forgiving. So now, what is with such a person? So a person who is Mavir al Midoisov, so in heaven this is seen, and as the Gemara says, Mavirin lo al kol pshov. Rashi says, Ein midas hadin medakdekes achareim, eleman achosav oleches, the attribute of strict justice doesn't deal with him strictly and allows him to get away with sins as well. In other words, this is the way the Almighty deals with mankind. It's what we call measure for measure. If you're a strict type individual with those that offended you, so Shemayim will be strict in your offenses as well. However, if you are not strict in dealing with the people who offended you, so in Shemayim also will not be strict with regard to your offenses. As the Gemara goes on to say, Shenemar, Noisei Avon V'Oiver Al Pesha, and the explanation, Lemi Noisei Avon, who will be the beneficiary of his sins being lifted up, as we described before, Lemi She'Oiver Al Pesha, for a person who himself is forgiving with regard to those that sinned against him. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Chosh. Now the Gemara shares a little story with this as its theme. Rav Huna took ill, very ill. All Rav Papa Lishile Bey, Rav Arul means he went in, Rav Papa went in to visit him to seek out how he is doing. Chazid Cholish Le Alma, he saw that Rav Huna Braid Yeshua was very sick. Omar Lahu, Rav Papa said to those around him, Tzavisu Le Zavdisa, prepare for him his shrouds. In other words, it looks like that Rav Huna Rav Yeshua is going to die. L'sof Isbach, and miraculously at the end, he got better. Isbach, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua recovered. Have a michsaf, Rav Papa lemechse, and Rav Papa was embarrassed. Michsaf is embarrassed, lemechse, to see him. After all, he had just said, prepare his shrouds, now he's better. Omar lei my chosis. So they asked the Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, what did you see when you were in this state of between life and death? What did you see? Omar lohu. He said to them, in hochi havi. In fact, I was destined to die. In other words, I had received a sentence from heaven that my time has come. The Omar Luhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Almighty, and this is part of his vision, this is what he had seen, this is, in the contemporary terms, this is referred to sometimes as called a near-death experience. People have visions, and there, this is recorded in the Gemara, and here and in other places as well. So Rav Huna Rav Yeshua says that, I saw the heavenly court, and they said, I had been sentenced to die, and the Almighty entered the picture, and he said, Hoyo v'loy moikim b'mile lo sakumu b'hadei. Since he is a forgiving individual, so don't be strict with him. Shenemar noise avoin v'oiver al pesha. That is the pasuk, and as we said just before, lemi noise avoin v'oiver pesha. Who can benefit from having his sins lifted? One who himself is a forgiving individual. The pasuk there said in Micha, l'she'eris nachalosai. We saw this in the pasuk Yud Ches, where it said, "Mikael kamoicha avoin v'oiver al pesha l'she'eris nachalosa." Who benefits from having their sins lifted? So the pasuk had also indicated the remnant of his inheritance. Omar Rabbi Yacho Bar Chanina Aliyo v'koitzba. Aliyo is something positive. Literally, it's fat, something rich, and koitz is thorns. It's like having thorns in sweet cream. So, what does that mean? The pasuk said, "L'she'eris nachloso v'lo l'chol nachloso." Only the remnants of his inheritance will benefit. Not everybody. And so who does benefit? The mi shemesim atzmo kishirayim, someone who makes himself like a leftover. That's kind of literal, but it's a reference to someone who is very humble in spirit. He stands to benefit from this, from having his sins lifted and overlooked. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a, on the side, we're at the top of Omid Beis. On the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note, along with a double underline is featured, and it's one of our series markings. You can see we have in the Gemara itself, Rav Huna, Rabbi Elazar, and Ilfa. These are names of Amoroyim. The diamond highlights the word Rami. Rami has to do with a contradiction. Ma'alim psukim. They quote psukim shenirim soisrim. They seem to have internal contradictions. The tiuram in their descriptions shel midos Hashem regarding the attributes of the Almighty. You'll see on the one hand chesed, which is an attribute of loving kindness, mul tzedek and emes, and contrasted with the attribute of justice. Justice is called letter of the law, as opposed to loving kindness, which is going beyond the letter of the law. The Gemara. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna raises what seems to be a contradiction. Ksiv tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, uksiv v'chosid b'chol ma'asav. We are very familiar with this pasuk for those who are regular in their davening. This is a pasuk you find in the Ashrei, recited thrice daily. The pasuk describes the Almighty as Tzadik Hashem, which is a tzadik, even though in common parlance tzadik creates the impression of someone who is exceptionally pious. It also is a term referring to Mishpat Emes, justice, tzedek, that's letter of the law, truth. But it also says in the same pasuk that he's chosid b'chomasov, that is an expression indicating lifnim mishu min ashura, meaning not strict justice, but overlooking and loving kindness. So how do we resolve these two? B'tchila tzadik, u'lebesof chosid. That means that originally the Kodesh Baruch Hu's plan in dealing with the world was through strict justice. However, lebesof, as Rashi says, when he saw that the world is not miskayim bedin, it can't handle that. So he changed his mode of behavior to chesed. Rabbi Elazar Rami, he too raises this type of incongruity. Ksiv ulecho Hashem chesed, uksiv ki ato tishalem liish kimaseu. On the one hand, Kodesh Baruch Hu is described as chesed, and on the other hand, it's described as paying a person according to his deeds. Betchila, at first, ki ato tishalem kimaseu. At first, the intention was dealing with a man according to his actual deeds. Ulebesof, ulecho Hashem chesed. But when he saw that that couldn't be maintained because that would just have led to destruction. If you're going to be follow letter of the law, no one would have been able to stand up to that. So he switched to this mode of chesed. Ilfi v'amri lo ilfa. The question of how this name, who is referred to, either Ilfi or Ilfa. It's a different version of names. The pasuk says, "Ksiv v'rav chesed uksiv v'ms." The pasuk in the attributes, the 13 attributes, v'rav chesed v'ms. You see, so but chesed ms are almost contradictory terms. Betchila v'emes. He started off with the act of strict justice, the attribute of strict justice. Ula b'sof, the rav chesed. And continuing with the psukim in that realm of the 13 attributes of the Almighty, the pasuk says, "Vayavor Hashem al ponov vayikra." The pasuk is describing the Kodesh Baruch Hu and an intimate communication with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the pasuk says, "And he passed by him and he called out, Omar Reb Yochanan, Ilmole Mikra Kosov Yev Shalomo." If we didn't have this pasuk to base the following on, we wouldn't be able to say this. Malamed, this pasuk teaches us, Shenisate Fakodesh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. This is a case in point where the Gemara uses terminology in describing the Almighty in human terms on a very superficial translation level for us, but of course it cannot be taken literally. There is a lot of mystical depth to this, but for due to our constrictions, the translation would be that the Almighty cloaked himself, he wrapped himself like a prayer leader, like a chazan, someone who is the shliach tzibur, the shatz, he who leads the davening, who cloaks himself with a talis. V'herolo l'moshe seder tefila, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven, what to say. Omar lo, the Almighty says, Kolzman Shisrael Chaitim, when the Jews sin, and if they keep going like that, they're going to be in bad shape. Yasu Lefonai Keseder Hazev Ani Moichel Lahem. They should pray and recount my attributes in prayer, and I will forgive them. And the Gemara here in the next few lines quotes a couple phrases from that pasuk. Hashem, Hashem. Ani hu kodem shiechta ha'odom. I am merciful before a person sins. Vani hu la'achar shiechta ha'odom v'yaseh tshuva. I am still there for the person after he sins and does penitence, I am there for him also with my mercy. Kael Rachum V'chanun, also from the Pasuk. Omar Rav Yehuda, Bris Krusa L'Yud Gimel Midois She'enon Choizrois Reikom. There is a covenant with regard to these 13 attributes that are referred to in this pasuk, of the Almighty being merciful and full of grace, that if they are recited, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will make good on his covenant. Shinemar hine onoichi kireis bris. This pasuk is from that context, and it indicates that Kodesh Baruch Hu has made a covenant regarding this matter. In other words, as we said before, that if a person has found himself to be sinning, or a community has found to been sinning, and they express their remorse, and they pray saying this, referred to as the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes that are referred to in this pasuk, that will arouse the Almighty's mercy. And most of you might very well be familiar with the fact that this is part of the slichos, the prayers that we recite during the time of year where we are celebrating the high holy days, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and the days leading up to that as well. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some markings, and we have a topic heading on the side. Under our Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading and structural note, we indicate Koichot Shel Tshuva. The Gemara will be speaking about the strength of repentance. Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, Tshuva Yecholu Likro Gzar Dinoi Shel Adam. According to what Rabbi Yochanan tells us here, the act of tshuva, of repentance, can actually undo, overturn a verdict of guilt, of punishment that is rendered to the sinner. So, as far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, we'll first learn Rabbi Yochanan in the text, and then you'll notice some additional markings. There are triangles, and the triangles will appear as you skim down the page. They appear in alternating directions, sometimes point facing up and sometimes flipped over. This represents a give and take. On the side, the triangle point facing up represents Kushos al Rabbi Yochanan, where the Gemara will be challenging Rabbi Yochanan. How can you suggest that a gzar din can be torn up when we see sources indicated that once a gzar din, a verdict is in, that's it? And the tshuvos, the responses to those questions. This give and take continues to the upper part of Yud Ches Omen Aleph. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Gedola tshuva, great is the power of repentance. Shemekaras gzar dino shel adam, it can tear up a verdict that's rendered against a person. Shenemar hashmein lev ha'om hazeh, v'oznov hachbe v'einov hosha, penyireh b'einov v'oznov ishma, ulevovo yovin. The pasuk is describing a nation that has blinded themselves and has deafened themselves from performing mitzvos, from being righteous. In other words, in one simple word, the pasuk is describing wickedness. V'shav v'rafalo, v'shav, and they do tshuva and they are healed. Omar lei Rav Papa Labai. Rav Papa asks, "V'dilma lefnei gzar din." Maybe what this pasuk is describing is before the verdict is in. How can this pasuk be used to support Rabbi Yochanan when Rabbi Yochanan goes further and he says that the power of tshuva extends even after the guilty verdict is in? Omar lei Abai says the pasuk, in fact, from Yeshaya is after the guilty verdict is in. It says, "V'rafa lo ksiv." In the pasuk we just quoted, and you can see we dashed underline in the original pasuk, it says, "And he will be healed." Esu davar shitzorach refuah. What is it that requires healing? Heve omer zeh gzar din. That is a reference to a situation after the verdict has been cast. After the verdict is in, he then needs healing from that. Hence, we see that tshuva works even at that late time. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Hashov bein tayim mochalin lo, one who repents between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so he is forgiven. The verdict, the gzar din, as we saw in the Mishnah, is rendered on Yom Kippur. Lo shov bein tayim, if he doesn't repent between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the verdict is in, afilu hevi kol eli nevoyos sheba olam. If after the verdict is in, even if he brings many many say repenting sacrifices. Eile nevoyos, a reference. Eile is a ram. That's one of the types of animals brought as sacrifices. Eile nevoyos, it's a type of expensive, large animal as a sacrifice. Ein moichalin lo, he will not be forgiven. So what do we see from here? We see that tshuva after the gzar din does not work. Lo kashya. This too is not a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. Ha b'yachid ha b'tzibor. If you're talking about the individual, so an individual, in fact, once the verdict is in, that's it. However, if it's a matter of the community, and the community has received a verdict of guilt, but the community repents, that is what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. That the communal repentance is capable of overturning a gzar din rendered against them. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is in constant surveillance of the community. Itim l'toiva, itim l'ra. Sometimes this, we call this scrutiny, can lead to something positive, and sometimes it can lead to the opposite. Itim l'tova. Under what circumstances does it result in the positive? Ketzad. How is that? Harei sho yisro rishon gemurim. So you imagine a situation where the Jewish people are completely wicked. In other words, rishon gemurim, we saw earlier, majority sins. They were rishon gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. That when Rosh Hashanah came around, that was their state. Upasku lohem gishamim mu'atim, and heaven ruled that they will, as a result, receive little rainfall, drought. L'soif chazru bohen, and then they repented. L'hoisif alehem i'efshir shekvar nigzurog zera, to add more rain, impossible, because the verdict has already been rendered. So, at this point, you already see that tshuva doesn't seem to help once the verdict is in. So, what is now going to happen? Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu moridon bizmanon al ha'aretz hatzricho lehen hakol lefi ha'aretz. If they, in fact, did tshuva after the verdict was in, so the little rainfall that they are to receive will be provided bismanon at the right time after they've already planted their field. So the water will help the seeds that are in the ground. And the water will fall in required locations. Cultivated fields, vineyards, and gardens. However, itim l'ra, as the source began saying, that there's also times when it results where the scrutiny of the surveillance of the Almighty results in the negative. Ketzad, what's an example of that? Harei shehoyu Yisrael tzadikim gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. They were totally righteous at the time of Rosh Hashanah. U'poskul em gishamim merubim, and they were ruled to receive rain. Plentiful rain. L'soif chazru bohen, and afterwards they went bad. L'fchois mehem i'efshir shekvar nigzurog zera, to reduce the rain, that can't be, because they were already beneficiaries of a positive verdict. Ela, but now in light of the fact that they went bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moridon shelo bizmanon. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu will then take this plentifulness of rain and have it fall before they plant. They'll have it fall in forests, on forests and on deserts, areas that don't require water for cultivation to begin with. Now, what did we see in this presentation? L'toivo miha, dikrei l'gzar dinai v'loisif lehu. If Rabbi Yochanan is correct, then if they do penitence, then why is the verdict not torn up and add to the rain? And the source said that doesn't happen. The Gemara responds, Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Shiny Hossam, the case that we just saw, is different. The Efsher Bahochi. In order to acknowledge their penitence, it isn't necessary to change the verdict, to bestow upon them the mercifulness. It was enough that the little water, however, would be focused time and place on that which needs it after the planting was done and in areas that need the water, so that in effect the same result happens as if water were added. Toshma. We raise an objection from this. Now, we open a Tanaic source with a Pasuk quotation that lasts three lines. Yordei hayam ba'onios oisei melocha b'mayim rabim heimoro ma'isei Hashem. The Pasuk describes seafaring individuals, people that live on the high seas. They see amazing things. Vayomer vayamod ruach soro trumim galov yuchogu v'yonu kishikor. Pasuk describes the seafaring individuals experiencing turbulence. Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lahem, and they call out in the midst of their crisis. Yodu Lashem chazdoi v'chulei, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu saves them after they pray. Also lohen simonios keachin v'rakin shebetorah. In this section, this is a pasuk we quoted from Tehillim. Right before that section, there is in the traditional script that is a reference to scrolls that are written in the tradition. According to tradition, there is an inverted letter nun that appears in the Tehillim text. That inverted nun is a sign, and it functions like the words ach. Here in the Gemara, it's an achin, is the plural of the word ach, or the word rak. Rak also is here in the plural, rakin. These are words that have a limitation connotation. And what does that mean for us? It means that not at all times will calling out in prayer be successful to extricate them from their suffering. Lomar loch, the Gemara says, after saying that the inverted nun functions in a limitation capacity, so it tells me, tsaku kaidim gzardin enin, tsaku laachar gzardin enon nenin. If the beseeching takes place before the verdict is rendered, so they will be answered. If the beseeching takes place after the verdict is rendered, they won't be answered. So, doesn't that show, contrary to Rabbi Yochanan, that after the Gzar Din is in, then Tshuva doesn't help? The Gemara says, Hani Nami, the case of the Pasuk referring to the Yordei Hayam, they too, Kiyachidin Damu, they are like individuals. And we already explained above on the sixth wide line of the Gemara that when it comes to Yachid, so then we acknowledge that after the verdict is in, the tshuva does not help. Toshma. Well, we raise again a question. This is a long question. It will take us to the top line of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Shala Bluria Hagiuris is Rabban Gamliel. Bluria, name of a woman. She was a convert, and she asked Rabban Gamliel, Ksiv b'Torascham, It says in your Torah, Asher lo yisoponim, which might translate roughly as he does not show favoritism. Uksiv yisoh Hashem ponov eilecha. On the other hand, if somebody contradictory pasuk that says he does show favoritism. Nitpa lo Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin. So Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin comes and he joins up. Nitpa, he joins up with this discussion and offers a response. Omar lo, I'm sholoch, Moshe. I'm going to give to you a parable. Lema adover deime. What is this parallel to? What is this like? In order to respond to your question, what can this be compared to? La'odom shenoshe b'chavero mona. A creditor is trying to collect $100 from his friend. V'kova lo'izman b'fnei hamelech. And a date was set for the payback. And the agreement was done in front of the king. V'nishba loy b'chaye hamelech. And the borrower swore by the life of the king that he will pay back on time. Higiyaz man v'lo poro. Time came and he didn't pay back. And mind you, he had sworn by the life of the king. Bo l'fayes es hamelech. He came, the borrower who didn't make good on his vow, on his oath, he comes to the king to appease the king. The shame that you caused me by swearing in by my life and not coming through, so I can forgive you for that. Lech upayes es chavercha. Go and appease your friend. In other words, you wronged him. You didn't pay back. You have to appease him. Hochanami, that was the parable. So Rabbi Yossi HaKohen goes on to explain, so too over here with regard to the two psukim, kan baveru shebein olam lamokoim, kan baveru shebein olam lachavero. The pasuk that says Hashem will show favor, that's with regard to offenses that were directed towards him. Those are the area of sins that are between man and his maker. So those are sins that a person can seek forgiveness and a Kodesh Baruch Hu will show his loving kindness. Yiso Hashem ponov eilecha. However, kan baveru shebeino lachavero, sins that are affronts to one's fellow man, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can lo yiso upon him, will not show favoritism or loving kindness until you appease the offended party. So with that, Rabbi Yossi HaKoyen offers his resolution of these two seemingly contradictory psukim. One is Bein Olam LaChavero, the other is Bein Olam LaMokim. And this was an acceptable resolution. Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva V'limid, until Rabbi Akiva came and offered his resolution. We continue at the top of Daf Yudches. Kan Koidim Gzardin Kan Liachar Gzardin. The pasuk that says Yiso Hashem, HaKadosh will overlook, will show favoritism and loving kindness, that's before the verdict is in. The pasuk that says Asher Lo Yiso, that he won't overlook, that's Kan Liachar Gzardin, that's after the verdict is in. So that would seem to run against Rabbi Yochanan, who said that even after the verdict is in, tshuva can help. The Gemara answers, Hochanami biyochid. This source that says Lachar Gzardin, the Kodesh Baruch will no longer overlook, that's true with regard to an individual. Rabbi Yochanan's din before, Rabbi Yochanan's revelation regarding the power of tshuva even after Gzardin, that was with regard to the community. At this point, we see a new marking, a double underline, and on the side, we under the Mivneh heading, you can see this is featured, Gzar Din, the Yochid, and the Tzibor. The Gemara will make reference to these two topics, the Gzar Din of the individual and the Gzar Din rendered against the public. You can see this double underline, and we're going to point out matters regarding these things, he'ora u'she'elo al inyonim elu. If one is an elucidation, and the second is a question regarding these matters. So, at first we open with a long point. Ugzar din diyochid, that which we've said till now, that the final verdict, the verdict rendered against the individual, if it's a verdict of punishment, and we suggested till now it cannot be undone, tanoihi. This is a machloikis tanoim. Desanya. And we present a source, a long source, and within this source we will be making this point, that it's not universally accepted. Rather, can tshuva benefit a yochid even after a gzar din is rendered against him? This, we have the source begins, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say, Shnaim sha'olu lamita v'chol yon shaveh. Two people that became bedridden. Olu lamitas, they went up to the bed, means they became bedridden with the same type ailment. V'chein shnaim sha'olu legardoim lidoin v'dinon shaveh. And two people that went to the gardom. The gardom, Rashi says, Beisvad shedonim bo nefoshes larigo. This is a place or a court where capital cases are tried. And they were caught on the same charges. Ze yorad vezelo yorad. Ze nitzal vezelo nitzal. One got better, the other didn't get better. One was saved, one received a positive verdict, the other one a negative. Mipnei ma ze yorad vezelo yorad ze nitzal vezelo nitzal. How do you explain the difference? How one got better, one was saved, and the other one either didn't get better or he wasn't saved. Answer, ze hispalo v'nene v'ze hispalo v'lo nene. Well, one prayed, and his prayer was answered. The other prayed, but his prayer wasn't answered. So why is it that two people who prayed, one was answered and the other was not? Answer, ze hispalo tfilo shlemo nene. The one who davened a tfilo shlemo, that means he davened with kavona. What's kavona? He davened with proper intent, proper concentration. Vze lo hispalo tfilo shlemo. The other one did not pray a quality prayer the same way. Lo nene. So his prayer was not answered. Rabbi Elazar Omar kan koidim gzardin kan liachar gzardin. Rabbi Elazar says that the one who was saved, because the verdict from heaven had not been in yet. The other one was not saved because this was after the gzardin min hashamayim, after heaven ruled that he is not to be saved. So a person after gzardin, so his penitence, his prayers will not help. This is like that which we have seen till now. However, Rabbi Yitzchok Amar, Yofet Tzokel Odom, Bein Koidim Gzardin, Bein Li Achar Gzardin. And here, we've dashed underlined Bein Lachar Gzardin, because this represents the new approach, this we did not see before, that Tzokel, that prayer and beseeching, is beneficial to a person even after the verdict is in. And now we go to the issue of the Gzardin and the Tzibor with a question. Ugzardin the Tzibor mi mikra? Does the verdict rendered against the public, can it be torn up? Is it not final? There's one pasuk that says, Kapsi me ra'a libech. Kapsi means cleansed from evil. Uksiv ki'im t'chapsi b'neser v'sarbi loch boris nechtam avonech lefonai. So this pasuk indicates that even if there is the attempt to wash and cleanse, the stain of the sin remains. So the pasuk, first pasuk, kapsi me ra'a libech, that cleansing from evil helps. This pasuk says it doesn't help. My love, Kan koidim gzardin, kan liachar gzardin. Is the resolution, in fact, not this? That before gzardin, so the cleansing, the tshuva, the penitence helps. But after the gzardin, after the verdict is in, the cleansing does not help. Loi. That's not the resolution. Idi vidi lachar gzardin. Both psukim are referring to a situation after the verdict is in. Velo kashya. And there still is no contradiction. Kan bigzar din sheishi moy shvua. There's a type of verdict that once it's handed in together with an oath that it shall remain and not ever be changed. Kan bigzar din shein imo shuva. The pasuk that said kapsi meira libech, that the cleansing helps even after gzardin. That's a case where the gzardin was handed in, where the heavenly verdict was handed in, but without an oath. Kidarav Shmuel bar Ami, based on Rav Shmuel's teaching, the Amr of Shmuel bar Ami, the Amri lo, another version by way of names is Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr of Yonason. Minayin legzardin sheyesh imo shvua she'eino nikra. From where do you know that a verdict that is handed in together with an oath that it cannot be torn up? Shneimar v'lochein nishbati lebeis eli im yiskaper avoin beis eli bezevach uvamincha. And as a result of the sins of the children of the high priest Eli was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel Hanavi's birth, and his sons had behaved in a questionable fashion, so they were subject to a punishment, and the punishment is referred to in this pasuk where you see Nishbati, the Almighty swears that their sins cannot be forgiven. Even with zevach uvamincha, even with sacrifices, with what we'll call sacrificial form of repentance, the sin and the verdict remains. The Gemara continues elaborating on this point, and we will see Rabba and Abaye pointing out that even in this situation, there is some hope. Omar Rabba. Rabba makes a diuk. He draws an inference from this pasuk, and he says, "Bezevach uvemincha eino miskaper." True, that if the base Eli, if the descendants of the family of Eli try to bring sacrifices as penitence, as atonement for their sins, for their having been subjects of this verdict, that they are to die young, so it's true that with zevach mincha that won't atone. Aval miskaper b'Torah. If they, the descendants of Eli, engage in Torah study, so the verdict of them having to die young can be overturned. And we speak about dying young, we're talking about dying at the age of 18. But if they engage in Torah study, that can prolong their life. Abaye Omar, Abaye along the same line says, "Bezevach uvemincha eino miskaper." By trying to atone for the verdict by bringing sacrifices, zevach or animal sacrifice, mincha or meal offerings, true, that will not work. That was a verdict given, handed down with an oath, cannot be overturned. But cannot be overturned through zevach uvemincha. Avo miskaper b'toyro v'gemilas hasadim, through Torah study and a life of gemilus chasadim, of loving kindness, of acts of charity, that can be undone, and they can end up living longer. Appropriately enough, the two names we saw, Rabba and Abaye, are featured here. Rabba Vai, the Beis Eli Kosu, these were two outstanding luminaries of the Amoraic period. Two of our greatest, Rabba and Rabbi, they were both descendants, they were both Kehanim and descendants of Eli. And they both lived beyond 18 years old. Rabba, the Osak B'Torah, Rabba who engaged in Torah study, Chaya, Arboyin Shonin, he lived to the age of 40. Now, relatively speaking, that's quite an elongation, a lengthening of his life. He was supposed to die at 18, as the Pasuk indicated before. Abaye, the Osak B'Torah Uvegemilas Hasadim, Abaye led a life not only of Torah study, but also was engaged in acts of charity and loving kindness. Choya Shishin Shon, he lived till 60 years of age. At this point, we're, of course, within the Daf Yomi context, so we've already overflowed quite a bit. So this will be a point that, even though we're in the middle of this discussion, we'll have to pause over here. Before we actually conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of access to marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.